So, no special pre-written intro, none of the usual stuff. We're ditching our normal format today to do a roundtable discussion in memory of the great and wonderful Aaron Alston. With me today for this podcast are Nancy.
Hi.
And Bria.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. I don't think any of us actually wants to record this episode, but...
We really don't.
We've been procrastinating for 40 minutes.
But with how much Aaron Alston's books have meant to all of us and how much they mean to Star Wars, I think we have to talk about Aaron. So
yeah, this is...
A really we'll tough hopefully episode.
Have, it's a tough episode. Hopefully we'll have some fun with it. It's definitely not an easy one for us to do, but why don't we just get right into it?
Obviously, you've probably heard the news that last Friday, Aaron Alston passed away. I think it was Thursday night. And he was on his way to a convention in Missouri where he was going to be guest of honor, and he collapsed and passed away. And he's had health problems in the past, notably, believe it was while he was writing Fate of the Jedi, he had a major heart surgery. But he recovered, was able to finish the last two books of the series and write Mercy Kill. And he was doing very well in the past few years. We saw him at cons. He recovered a lot of his eyesight. But unfortunately, he just... Nothing you can do about his condition. And fandom kind of exploded in sadness, I guess you could say. Everyone had really kind words to say about him and really great posts in his memory. Some of the memorable ones were Janine Spenlove and Brian Young and Ron Garner, and they all work with Silence in the Library Publishing and have done writing workshops with Aaron. Basically, he's mentored them all, and they have really great stories about working with Aaron and what he was like as a person. And I think everyone who's met him at a con can just see right away that he is such a great human being, not just the fact that we all like his books. He was a genuinely really nice person and always happy to talk to everybody. And Dunk from Club Jade also had a really great post. He was a active member of Club Jade, hung out with them at cons. But unfortunately, those posts have been eaten by the WordPress gremlins, so we can't link to them. But we can link to the Tumblr posts. I believe she had them on Tumblr. Hopefully, if you're reading this, if you're listening to this podcast, we've told you many, many times, go read Aaron Alston's books. In case you haven't and need a reminder of how influential he was in the Expanded Universe, he wrote in pretty much every era of the post-Return of the Jedi Expanded Universe. He wrote the X-Wing novels, Race Squadron, Iron Fist, Solo Command, Starfighters of Adamar. He wrote the New Jedi Order books, Rebel's Dream and Rebel Stand. He wrote the Legacy of the Force books, Betrayal, Exile, and Fury. And he wrote the Fate of the Jedi books, Outcast, Backlash, and Conviction. And Mercy Kill is considered an X-Wing novel, although it takes place after Fate of the Jedi. He's also written several books in his own universes, including the Dax Today books and the sequel, and several Terminator novels. And basically, if you played Dungeons & Dragons, you might have... played according to his role-playing guides. And he also taught writing workshops with Mike Stackpole at several conventions. And he's published writing books, including Plotting a Novelist Workout Guide. You can purchase that on Amazon or his website. I have it, and it's really great. If you want to be a writer, or you are a writer, you should get it. But we are not here to just list off facts about Aaron Alston. We're here to talk about his books and how they influenced Star Wars and to talk about him. So
I guess we can start with all of our first exposures to Aaron Alston's writing.
And I imagine it's all going to be the same book, but it'll be interesting to hear the stories. Oh, Brian, you want to go first?
Not really.
Okay, Priya, you want to go first?
By process of elimination, I guess so. Okay. I actually cannot remember for the life of me whether the first one I read was Race Squadron or if it was Rebel Stands, the first Rebel Dream. Sorry, that's the first one of the New Jedi Order. Because I sort of just inhaled every Star Wars book I get my hands on. And I think I was still inhaling the pre-New Jedi Order at the time that I was working my way through the New Jedi Order books. So I'm not really sure which it was, but regardless, I believe my reaction was, oh my God, this is fun. He writes characters that I enjoy in a really fun way. He makes things funny, even, you know, when other authors might just drag you down into sadness. If Rebel Dream was the first one I read, I remember that just it made me really, really happy, especially after reading Star by Star and Race Squadron. I mean, despite people dying in that book, how can that book not make you happy?
Yeah. Mine was Race Squadron. I read it, I believe it was the summer of 1999. I had foot surgery that summer and basically could do nothing for the first half. And so I read a lot of books. And I had procrastinated on reading the X-Wing series, A, because I had a crap load of homework to do when I was in high school. And B, because I didn't want to read books about fighter pilots. And I finally went ahead and read the X-Wing books because I was just like, why not? I have nothing better to do. And needless to say, I kicked myself for not having read them sooner. It also helped because I was reading the Dark Tide books because those were the X-Wing books coming out at the time. And I had no idea who this Corran Horn person was. So that helped. So then I was, you know, reading through and I, you know, liked all of Mike Stackpole's books a lot. And then I got to Race Squadron and I'm like, oh, new author. Okay. And then I really liked all of Aaron's books. And I remember, you know, getting through the whole series and laughing the way through Starfighters of Adamar. I kind of didn't want to read Aaron Alston's books because I didn't want to read X-Wing. And I'm really, really glad that I had foot surgery that one summer or else I would have missed out on really good books.
And sorry, I made a YouTube go first. I don't want people to get the wrong impression. It's just really hard for me to talk about the first time I read an Aaron Alston book.
You wrote a post about it.
I did write a post about it, and that post was really the first time I'd ever discussed in depth why his books were so important for me. I mean, anybody with similar sensibilities to me probably had a miserable time in high school. In addition to all the usual social crap that goes on with being of that age and in that setting, I dealt with a pretty bad case of depression. I wasn't doing well. I wasn't exactly keen on the whole idea of being alive. Take that how you will. The only thing I really could do, had any desire to do, was read books. It was my sophomore year of high school, fall of that year. I'd just started reading through the X-Wing books. I read through the Stackpole X-Wing novels. And then I picked up Wraith Squadron. And for the first time in I don't know how long, I laughed out loud. And I don't know where my life would have gone at that point, after that point, had I not read Wraith Squadron when I did. I mean, Aaron used to tell the story of a reader who sent him a letter, and the reader said that he was seeing parallels with himself and the destructive path that Ton Fainen went down. And through that, this reader who sent Aaron this letter got sort of a kick to get his life back in order. And this reader said that Aaron had saved his life. I really do wish that when I had the chance at the numerous conventions I'd gone to, that Aaron was there, that I'd relayed my story as well, because Aaron had inadvertently done the same for me as well.
Yeah. I think a lot of people probably have similar stories when it comes to Star Wars authors. I think we can all probably thank Mike for having to write I, Jedi. Because that's why Aaron Alston, he was like, hey, you should have Aaron Alston write these books. Oh, this is a funny story. Aaron's told this story at conventions all the time of how he found out he was doing the X-Wing books.
This is one of my favorite stories he told.
Yeah, because so Mike knew he couldn't write the next X-Wing book, so he suggested Aaron Alston. And
To the editor, yeah, whoever was in charge of the Star Wars, yeah, segment of Bantam Spectrum.
And they had kind of penciled him in and everything, and then that person left. So the new person came in, and
Months after it was agreed upon.
This was like, you know, 2 months into when he should have been writing books. And they saw that, oh, Aaron Alston's writing these Star Wars books. Okay, let's follow up on that. They called Aaron Alston's agent and said, so how are these books coming? And the agent's response was, I don't know. I will ask him. And that is when he found out that he was writing Star Wars books, when he was like 2 months behind deadline. So he said that those books were written in panic, and that he wondered if they were that good because they were written in panic. Definitely not the way you want to find out you have a Star Wars contract. Like, imagine, it's so, you know, it might be good that he didn't have a chance to think about it, because how successful the X-Wing series was, he'd probably be all, you know, worried about whether or not it's going to be as good or people are going to like it as much. No, he was just like, let's finish this. Oh my God. All right. So, let's skip ahead. What's your favorite Aaron Alston book?
Is anyone not going to say Starfighters of Adamar?
I might not say it just to be contrary.
Come on, it's Starfighters of Adamar.
The
book that Aaron self-describes as Wedge Antilles' Vietnam adventure.
Although you say that you would like to live in an alternate universe where he wrote the Han and Leia book, yeah, that he was considering.
Aaron mentioned this at cons a few times, that he almost pitched another story instead of Starfighters of Adamar. And it was a story in which Han comes to terms with the fact that he is married way out of his league.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Bri. I say I like the alternate universe where we could get both of those books.
Me too.
I just want to kind of TARDIS myself into this alternate universe and just see the result of that, because you saw glimpses of it in Solo Command.
Yeah.
It would have been neat to have seen Aaron take that concept out to a full novel.
I had mentioned it earlier. I had mentioned it on another podcast that the way that EU is going and staying with, you know, the original trilogy books and not moving ahead in the timeline, I said that would be the perfect time to do a book like that. And I know Timothy Zahn had said something before. Aaron had an idea for a book like set in the original trilogy with Vader, but he didn't think it would, you know, it would, you know, he didn't think it would have much backing. And Tim Zahn said, you know, with the Clone Wars and everything, he's like, you should pitch that because there's a lot more focus on Vader now. And I'm like, why don't we live in a world where Aaron Alston had written every book that he had wanted to write? Because I'm like, Del Rey. I want another Wraith book. I want another book after Mercy Kill. Ugh.
Ooh. I need more Miri. That's what breaks my heart, is I'll never get more Miri Antilles.
I said something to Brian the other day and it made him cry. That probably no one will ever write about Cael Antilles now.
Damn.
I know. I'm sorry.
Ugh. Well, here's my question for you guys then, since we all were going to say the same question.
Yeah.
And I did not prep for this same answer.
Yeah.
What is your favorite Alston book that's not Starfighter Battlemar?
That's actually a really good question.
Hmm.
I mean, you'll have to give it 5 years before I can say Mercy Kill, because I need that one to set my memory a little more before I can truly rate it against everything else.
I wish I could say Rebel Dream and Rebel Stand, except I hated the whole Eric Ismaran thing. And I don't necessarily fault Aaron for that, because I think they kind of pointed him in a direction for the villain part. It was just weird. I loved the whole on Coruscant thing, but that character in particularly just made me roll my eyes. If I could just take that character out and separate all the other stuff, because it was a much needed levity in that series. And he is one of the only few authors to write Mara well, write Luke and Mara well.
You know what a really underrated moment from those books was?
Luke being naked?
No, I'm pretty sure among certain fans that's rated very highly. It was the moment with Jaina and Leia.
Oh, yes. Actually, when I first read the book, that was something I remember commenting on, because
I can't remember anything before or after that. Mm-hmm. So beautifully captured their relationship.
I don't know if I would feel this way if I reread the series, but at the time when I read it, I was really annoyed with Jaina. I think it might have been because at the time those books were coming out, I was only a few years older than her. I was in college. So, you know, I was like, you know, 8 or something years. Yeah, but I was her age but older. I could sympathize with her, but at the same time I just thought she was being such a brat about Leia and like Leia leaving them and everything. And I really appreciated that moment, cuz it, you know, showed that Jaina understood how hard it was for Leia as a mother, and it made me like Jaina a lot more after that.
Isn't that something he did so well, though, was making characters that had struggled to work on page somehow relatable?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the struggle for Jaina may be, your mileage may vary, but I agree. I agree with the overall point.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, I don't know if I'd feel the same way if I read the books now. It's been a really long time since I've read NJO, but I remember really liking that, and that he was able to encapsulate how both of them felt without kind of making one seem right and the other seem wrong.
Aaron Alston excelled at putting you in the shoes of the point of view character. Yeah. No matter who the point of view character was, they were the hero of the moment. They had their motivations. They had their desires and their needs. There were never these shallow cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, he said that so many times about Dala in Fate of the Jedi, that when he wrote Dala, Dala was the hero, because otherwise it doesn't work. And I think the only time I ever liked Dala was when he was writing her, funnily enough. I mean, yeah, Aaron also made me cry when Callista died. I just want to point that for the record. I cried when I read Conviction when Callista died. Me. I hate Callista.
Didn't you both?
I hate Callista.
I did, but that's not a big surprise for me.
Yeah, that's not a surprise. I hate Callista. And yeah, I cried. I don't know. It's hard to say. I'll see.
See, for me, I go back and forth between it being Solo Command and then his two New Jedi Order books, I think.
Yeah. That's kind of where I am. It's either the Enemy Lines duology or it's Solo Command.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I just think about the, like, I mean, yeah, that one plot line with the Sith Lord thing was weird. But then I remember everything, like how he brought in the Wraiths and it was like so perfectly done there, and then how he wrote that whole conversation between Jaina and Jag where she's just like, you know, I don't want to be the only one left, and just Wedge Antilles so good he can't lose even when he tries.
Oh my god.
Just I pulled that comparison.
He wrote Wedge
friend.
In such a way that Wedge got the cover treatment. How awesome is that?
So
they were trolling us.
Yeah.
They were trolling us.
Well, that leads to the next thing we could talk about is our favorite Aaron Alston moments. And one of mine is definitely the biggest troll Aaron Alston ever pulled off.
He was aware of what the internet was saying.
He knew. He knew that everyone was speculating that Wedge was going to die because people died in the New Jedi Order series. And he was writing these books. And he was the only person who would go and kill Wedge. And so he made everyone believe that he was going to kill Wedge, and then he didn't. And I still think I want to do mean hand gestures at him for that.
I loved it when he related that story at cons.
Because he always had this smug look on his face.
You could see this little grin and this very evil and knowing glint in his eyes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But then on the contrary, he said, if you cry while reading a book, then I cried while writing it. And
yep.
That happened a lot while reading his books, too. With laugh, I said, I would laugh on one page and then cry on the same page.
I mean, Aaron Alston is known so much for his levity and his humor. But honestly, he may have had just the best grasp of the entire emotional gamut in Star Wars.
Well, the obvious is Iron Fist. That scene is just awful. And
it's going to be a long time before I can read that again.
I posted that on Tumblr last week and I was crying while typing it up. And then I remember vividly reading Mercy Kill and having to stop after, I can't remember what chapter it was.
19?
Yeah, I had to put the book down after that chapter and step away for a while because it was so upsetting.
17.
17.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I just double checked.
Yeah.
He was an author that
That's the same book, by the way, that has a Gamorrean stripper. Yeah. Just to put that into perspective.
If there's one takeaway from Aaron's writing, it's that there's always room in life for laughter and levity to offset all the serious business going down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aaron Alston had a Yuuzhan Vong character that people liked.
And who was used outside of the New Jedi Order.
Yes.
He was one of the only authors who ever followed through with that.
Yeah. And he's one of the only authors who's written an alien protagonist.
That's true.
And I remember when we had him on the podcast, he wouldn't say who the protagonist was. And I'm really glad that he didn't.
Man, part of me wishes we'd held off on that podcast until after Mercy Kill released.
I know. So, yeah, what are other... Well, I said one of mine before. Luke naked with the Red Devourer. So it's just so hilarious.
I mean, what can you pick out that isn't already just burned into the memory of EU fans for just the audacity and the sheer brilliance of it all?
And then the whole...
Sispit, that's the sun.
And then the whole kiss, the whole kiss for luck with Face and Luke and Mara.
And see, that was another underrated thing. Aaron Alston never forgot that Luke was a funny, had an element of humor to him.
I like to say Aaron, when I wrote the blog post last week about Aaron, I had said that there were many of us who became fans of the expanded universe because of Aaron, but I would imagine there's a lot of people who stayed fans of the expanded universe because of him. Because if he still wasn't writing, they wouldn't have bothered to keep up with the later series. I'm one of them. I had gotten away from the EU and I had heard so many good things about Luke and Ben in the Fate of the Jedi series that I decided I wanted to go ahead and try them out. And I remember reading Outcast and laughing hysterically at Ben's comment about the world's dullest textile factory and thinking, okay, I'm like, okay, this is good. We're all going to be fine.
And so I actually ended up coining a term for that when I was doing the While We Were Express last year. It's called being Alstoned.
Because getting sucked back in.
Yeah. Because they go, here, have Aaron Alston. He's going to write the first book of the series. And then he'll write, you know, every three. And you just have to stick around for the Alston books.
Yeah. And yeah, I remember reading like Conviction. And I was like, I really like what he's doing with Vistara. And like how like her writing the letters to
and
her dad.
And it comes back to it, grounded in humanity.
Yeah, like she was just a person. And then on that. Yeah. Yeah. There are just so many good moments. The dance in Iron Fist. The boot.
True story. I one time found something. Actually, it's my driver's license when I first got it. For some reason, I decided to put it in my shoe, and I couldn't find it. And then my friend said, is it in your other boot? Is it in your other boot?
Wes with the blast sword. The cape.
Yes, the cape.
All the Starfighters of Adamar.
And hey, let's pull one from Backlash. Han, I have a flamethrower.
Yeah.
I have a flamethrower.
Yeah. And I like to think that he threw the fangirls a bone by having Luke fight a Rancor. That was pretty cool. And I'd also like to give him props for having Wedge break up with Queezux in a dignified manner and not make her out to be a horrible harpy bitch.
Because she wasn't.
She really wasn't. She was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like Callista. They tried to make Wedge and Kui happen. They just need to stop making it happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, can we just, let's talk a little bit about Starfighters of Adamar. How awesome is it that there is one surprise book left in the Bantam Spectra contract, and Aaron gets a blank check to write whatever he wants, and he chooses this.
I think that's as close as he could ever get to Luke and Mara going shopping.
Aaron used to tell this story at cons, how he was extremely jealous of fan fiction writers because he really wants to tell a story of Luke and Mara going shopping.
Well, it's just like stupid stories like that. He's like, you guys get to write about things like Luke and Mara going shopping, to which I replied, I think I wrote that fic. And then someone tried to find out his fanfiction.net account, and he was like, well, then it wouldn't be secret.
I think we could probably fill a show with classic panel moments from Aaron Alston.
Yeah, man.
Should we talk about characters? Because he's had a bunch of extraordinarily iconic characters.
Yeah.
All of them. All of them. Well, it's hard for me to pick a Wraith.
As much as Wedge was Mike's character, I think he was also Aaron's character.
I think he may have.
Mm-hmm.
I think he may have been a little more Aaron's character than Mike, and I don't know if Mike would disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, Corin was definitely Mike's baby, and you know, he gave Wedge the attention he deserved, and I know originally they were going to have the race be with Hobby and Jansen, not have Wedge involved, and they wanted Wedge to be kind of the character that bridged the two groups. So I guess Aaron decided since he had to use Wedge, he might as well make Wedge the most awesome character in the history of the universe. Because why else? And like, Wedge is a character who has like 5 lines in the original trilogy, if that. And if you look up his Wikipedia entry, it's freaking longer than the Bible. It's like as long as Luke Skywalker's. And that's just a testament to, I mean, yeah, fans liked the character, but they grew to love him even more because of what they did with him.
Yeah. And I don't think the Wraith books would have worked as well as they did if you had had Hobby instead of Wedge.
Think about it. Wedge was the straight man. He was the protagonist and the straight man. He was the foil. The book's most important character was the foil.
Yeah. And I love that. I love, you know, what he did with Wes's character. It's really easy to have the jokester guy, but I loved that he had Wes be deadly. Yeah, he was funny, but when time came for it, he would snap back into mission mode, and you did not want to get on the wrong side of his gun. He remembered that Wes was the gunner for a reason.
there were so many great character arcs, though.
Kel.
Face.
Yeah.
Laura.
Face is probably my favorite Wes, or it's my favorite Alston character.
See, I can't choose between Face and Kel because I love them both for different reasons. And then when you look at the Antilles girls.
Yeah.
I can't pick.
Yeah. And I love Tyria. I love the fact that Tyria is a normal Jedi, basically. Like, she's not super awesome, but she did what she had to do to become
Tyria
a Jedi.
Is what I wish they all would be.
Yeah. She's got like a family and shit, you know? Yeah. Laura.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that entire arc.
And Min, when you rope that in, like the two of them, how they sort of played off each other with their arcs.
And he has the best fan service ever in Mercy Kill with them. I remember getting to that part in Mercy Kill and thinking, oh, I can't wait until Brian reads this.
You will not recruit my children.
I remember shrieking as I read that.
It was funny. It was a lampshade. It was perfect.
God.
Oh, Aaron was so beautifully aware of the tropes that he was using.
Sorry for coughing, people. I'm so sick. And also, one of my favorite characters, I think you all will agree with me, Lieutenant Ketch.
Yub, yub.
He is the only reason Star Wars fans know to go to TV tropes and look at the escalating prank war trope.
I remember reading that in the part when Wes got naked, and I was like, What am I reading? What series is this?
Oh, I know who I forgot to mention. Shala.
Ah, yes.
How did I forget Shala?
Shala's awesome.
I like your rear end, Lieutenant.
And Piggy. We can't forget Piggy.
And Runt.
I didn't know what I thought when I was first reading Mercy Kill, when it became apparent to me that Runt was the lead character.
Piggy.
Piggy.
Not Runt.
And Aaron always had this ability to take the most absurd ideas ever and turn them into sheer brilliance.
Well, I've said this before, that Mercy Kill is a sequel to New Jedi Order. Mercy Kill is a follow-up to the New Jedi Order that we never got. Darkness should have been that. But it took how many years, both out of universe and in universe, to get a story that acknowledged that the Yuuzhan Vong War happened, and not just in a way that, like, characters were messed up, because, like, you know, here's a Yuuzhan Vong character.
It was the first book to actually slow down and take stock of
what happened to the galaxy.
What happened to the galaxy and how a conflict like that damages and scars individuals.
Yeah. And it was really brilliant having him have to basically come to terms with what had happened, and it was just a really, really good book.
And even though he broke our hearts.
I wish we'd gotten more of them.
And of course,
I remember we asked him at Dragon Con which was harder. I think I asked him.
I think that was you.
And everyone was like, that's a mean question. I'm like, I'm sorry. He's the one who wrote it.
And he was that from the Mercy Kill panel that we basically took over?
Yes. And he said he couldn't figure it out because it was too close to him. But basically, you know, he reminds everyone he doesn't get glee in killing characters. He actually hates it. But which is why I think he got so much glee in fooling everyone about what Wedge.
Well, and that's why his character deaths were
so meaningful.
So meaningful and so well received, because he didn't kill characters for the sake of killing characters to ramp up drama.
Kill characters because it was necessary.
When he killed a character, it was strategic. It was chosen for a purpose.
When you look at Face and Tahn's death served Face's character arc. Face grew because Tahn died. He probably wouldn't have developed the way he did if Tahn hadn't died.
Where we've seen the expanded universe go wrong so many times is they seem to kill a character and then to try to figure out afterwards, okay, what happens now?
Right.
With Aaron, it was, he knew exactly what this accomplishes, mm-hmm. what the impacts and ramifications are.
And the most important thing about Tahn's death is that Tahn's death furthered his character arc too. Tahn had to die because there was nowhere else for him to go. That was the end of his character arc, that self-destructive arc. And Face saw that and then grew from that. As opposed to something like, I'll just go back to it because I always go back to it, Mara's death, which served Jason's arc, but not Mara's. And all of, you know, his major deaths like that, like Phelan.
Yep.
Phelan wanted to, you know, be successful and be noted for who she was and not because she was a pilot from Tatooine. And so she, you know, died in action. And that was the end of her arc.
I was actually going to say that I felt like with the X-Wing books, at least, all of the character deaths felt like they had some sort of meaning. I felt like there wasn't really any character who you didn't get to know at least a little bit. I mean, Cast and Dawn. Mm-hmm. I doubt anyone would say that's their favorite character. But when he died, you know, you were like, there was some purpose to it. And yes, it helped further Dia's arc to a certain extent. But it was also, it felt completely and utterly in character for him. And, you know, yeah. for the ones who ended up being the unfortunate cannon fodder to the Imperials, it didn't feel like, oh, he just came up with a name for this one and, oh, now he's dead.
There were no red shirts in Aaron's writing.
No. No, he definitely not. Even, like, Jesmyn was the first character to die, and she... I mean, you still feel like you got to know her, even though her death happened like halfway between the first book.
Can and we it also clearly talk- had, sorry, I was going to say, it just clearly had effects on certain characters like Kel Tanner.
Yeah.
See, yeah. He named one of his daughter after her.
Yeah, Jesmyn Tanner. Like, that's such a cool story that Aaron came up. If you haven't heard the story of how Aaron came up with Jesmyn Tanner, I know he's talked about it on different interviews. He talked about it on when he came on our podcast. Go listen to that interview just for that story, because that's he thinks long and hard about these things. He just doesn't pull stuff out and be like, oh, okay, I'll have this plot point. He's like, well, Kel and Tyria could have a daughter, and here's where she would have been all this time, and why you would never have known about her, and it makes perfect absolute sense.
Yep.
And why?
And I pretty much grilled him about this at the Mercy Kill panel, because I have an obsession with the Tanner family, and he had every single answer and
yeah.
broke my heart in the meantime about the poor Tanners.
And we kept asking him if there might be any secret Selchu children out there, and he said that's Mike's question to answer.
There totally are. There's yep. there's two of them. And, you know.
Oh. You know, why don't we just talk about convention moments with okay. Aaron?
Yes.
Because I think that's where we always had the most fun with him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Brian, you heard a story from him at I think the first time he heard it was at Origins, and then he talked about it at Dragon Con later.
Yeah, Aaron took responsibility for Mara's death when he didn't have to.
Yeah.
When they were spitballing ideas for Fate of the Jedi, not Fate of the Jedi, Legacy of the Force, he tossed out this vague idea of a Sith system of sacrifice, where the Sith... have to give something, so a prospective Sith has to give something up to truly be Sith. And while his back was turned and while he was out of the loop, somehow that turned into we're going to kill Mara. And he tried so hard to get them to change their mind on it, and it was too late at that point, and he still felt bad about it at Origins.
And I don't think he knew that Tim didn't
know. He found out at Origins that year
that
no one had contacted Tim.
I thought it was at a Dragon Con, because I remember being at that panel and just seeing Aaron's face.
He mentioned... I know he talked about it at Dragon Con, because you, Brian, you told me about it. And then he also talked about it at Dragon Con.
Yeah, Origins was the first time I'd heard about it, and he mentioned it again at Dragon Con later that year.
Yeah.
No, but, like, I was going to say, I think he found out that, because it was a panel with him and Tim, and that's when he found out that no one had told Tim beforehand.
Oh, okay. So I think
and
he
I remember
told,
just Alston's
Because I think
face.
When he told the story, he was by himself.
No, Tim was there.
At Origins?
Yeah, Tim was there, too.
He must not have just mentioned it then. Or he must, but yeah, He felt very guilty about the whole situation, and he was also would not name the author who suggested Mara as the death, even though we know who it is because that person has identified herself previously, but he would not say it was so-and-so. He he took the high road on that one.
And once again, it was Aaron recognizing the intrinsic value of characters. There was more to be lost by killing Mar than there was to be gained, and he knew it. You know, that same convention, the most wonderful thing I'd ever seen happened. Aaron, Mike, and Tim, in the span of about 10 minutes, spitballed and put together a Star Wars triptych.
Ugh, God, can we talk about that now?
I don't know if I can talk about it yet.
Well, it's not going to happen now, ever. And it's sad because you told me the idea for that, and it made me so... I mean, you didn't tell me the idea for that. What am I saying? You didn't tell anyone about that.
Last year at
Dragon Con, they basically came up with a whole anthology project and decided they were going to put it on Kickstarter. On that one panel, they were the conspiring for fun and profit.
It was always so much fun to see Aaron, Mike, and Tim together in one room.
I remember the first time I ever saw him at a convention was at Celebration 5. And that was during my hiatus from the Expanded Universe, but the Fate of the Jedi panel was going on at the time, so I decided to go in and sit in on it, and I was kind of stewing by myself because I didn't really know anyone there. And then someone asked about Tahiri and Jason getting together in Legacy of the Force, and I just stewed even more, and the room got kind of silent and awkward, and Aaron just holds up his hands and goes, "Didn't happen in my book."
Pointed look at Troy.
Yeah. Oh, God. I was like, oh, okay. 10 points for you, Mr. Alston. 10 points for you.
Oh, going back.
Sorry, going
back to Origins, I was there with a friend of mine, and Aaron wasn't feeling that great that day, so he was going to read a selection from one of his original books. I think it was Doc Shi. But
is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah, okay. Well, that's at least how he pronounced it.
Okay. Doc Shi. I butchered that, I'm sorry.
So he said, yeah, I'm not going to be reading. Here's a Q&A. So
sounds like something he would do.
It was myself, my friend who was there with me, and a couple members from Club Jade, oh, and it God. Turned into an hour of shoot the shit with Aaron Alston.
Now I'm mad I didn't go that year.
And we talked about everything from Star Wars to So You Think You Can Dance and bad films and a lot of puns.
Oh, that doesn't even surprise me.
Well, that's what he did for the Mercy Kill Q&A.
Yeah,
it was Monday at Dragon Con.
Monday afternoon.
People had started leaving. It was all very casual, and he just sat there and was like, yeah, so I'm Aaron Alston. I wrote this book called Mercy Kill, and I'll just let you guys ask me questions. And then Sarah played the microphone runner.
She did. And I was sitting in the front row with a stuffed version of Runt my lap.
And then
remember this?
We asked a lot of questions. I remember that panel was recorded. I think the Star Wars Report folks recorded it, that panel. And
did they really?
I think so.
I think they've got it in their archive somewhere.
And Aaron Goins asked me on Twitter, so did you ask all of the questions to Aaron Alston? And I'm like, we had an hour. He was there. What else was I supposed to do? I had questions to ask. I had a list. You had a list. You had a super long list.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I did
you
not
do.
Have a list.
Whatever.
I totally had a list.
A double-sided list.
Maybe. I just remember that because Sarah was running around with the microphone, and then every now and then it would go to someone who wasn't part of our group.
Yeah.
And it would just be one of those usual questions that you hate, that we hate to hear at panels. Mm-hmm. Where it would just be like, I think Brian and I started a list of don't ask these questions at
I think we're actually going to publish that before we go to Dragon Con this year.
Didn't we mean to do that this year?
Yeah.
Oops. But yeah, it was just our whole group. And the one thing I remember was there was this one girl who was like, okay, I need to know. I haven't read the book yet, but is it safe to come back to Star Wars? Yes, yet. And our whole group, it was a resounding,
yes!
Come home. It's okay now.
Yeah.
But just, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good panel.
That was a very bittersweet panel, Brian, and you know why.
Yeah, it was.
Brian and I were in the final stages of, oh my God, we have to say goodbye to each other in a few hours, and we're with dread. And the only thing that got us to smile or laugh was that freaking Aaron Alston panel. So thank you, Aaron Alston, for making the last day of DragonCon bearable. And that's all your sap for the day. Sorry, everyone.
Aww. But hey, on a Wraith-related note, that is also the year that I dragged you two into... Might have possibly been your guys' first cosplay. I'm not sure. I don't know your history, Nancy, but...
It was... Yeah, well, no, because I had done the Mirax cosplay the week before at Celebration.
That's right.
That was my first one.
One of the first.
Yes. That was one of the first, yes.
For those listeners who do not know, me and one of my friends decided that we really wanted to do gender-swapped face and Tawn costumes. And then because we don't do anything halfway, we recruited basically everyone we knew to join the group to be gender-swapped race squadron. Because, unfortunately, we know way more girls than we know guys, so it makes more sense to gender-swap things when it comes to pilots. And I think we had almost all of the humans. I think, right?
I think we did, yeah.
We had...
Yeah.
Hold on. I will go look at the picture that we have.
Let's see. I was Face. Nancy was Min.
Mm-hmm.
Brian... Did you do Fallon, right?
No, you were Laura.
I was Laura.
Because you didn't want to have blonde hair.
No,
Phelan.
That's why
you
did Fallon.
Right. You did Phelan, yeah.
Because I can't do blonde costumes.
Yeah, we had a little something going on. Until you died.
You did. It made pictures really easy, let me tell you.
I know. I was like, when we were trying to figure out like what to do, we're like, do we just tell people we're dating? That's really kind of presumptuous. Like, people care. I'm like, dude.
No, I asked.
You asked. But we were just like, let's just like, people will figure it out. But then I was like, hey, we could just start making out during the photo shoot. The people will be really confused.
Are they in character or not? I remember the look on Aaron's face when we showed up
and bombarded him. We're like, "Hey, we're gender swapped race," and he was like,
"Yep,
okay." We're like, "Look, we have a piggy and we have a runch."
We did, because Sarah took an angry bird pig and made a fighter pilot helmet for it, and I had made a flight suit for one of the stuffed horses I owned. And then we took a mercy kill picture with them.
Yeah.
And because I am terrible.
And he stood out and talked with us for like, I don't know how long.
Half an hour.
Yeah.
At least. And then we did the shoot, which that was a Dragon Con. I was sick.
Yes.
So I was like barely functioning by that point.
I was your, I was your bullhorn, and everyone looked at me like, where the hell did that come from? And I was like, I took drama. I knew how to know how to project.
Yep. I think by that point, my voice was just gone. Yeah. I think I was squeaking.
No one was listening to it. I was like, everyone, listen to Priya.
How cool was that, though? A bunch of cosplayers getting together to gender swap group cosplay for one author's supremely wonderful characters.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was a huge amount of fun. And I have to say, one of the things I really regret about not being able to make it to Dragon, or thinking I wasn't going to be able to make it to Dragon Con this year, and therefore costume plans getting pushed back, is that me and some of our friends, including Sarah and Maggie, we had planned to do basically the next generation of the X-Wing pilots kids. So I was going to do Miri, Magazine style. Sarah was going to do Jasmine. Because, you know, I mean, if anyone's going to kick out of that, that was going to be Aaron.
Yeah.
So just And let me tell you, he put up with a lot of really dumb questions for me that mostly had to do with what color should Miri's hair be?
You know, I don't know if I would have gotten into fandom had it not been for the Wraith Squadron books.
They're how I know you, Brian.
Yep, that's how I met Bria. I wrote some fan fiction based on the X-Wing novels.
And Maggie dragged you over to the boards, right?
Uh-huh. I met you because I wrote Luke and Mara fanfic, and then
I was active in the fanfiction community because of those books.
And you were like, hey, I wrote this pilot fic. Well, I remember you. I wrote the I Am Mara Jade fic, and I had Tyria in there, and you were like, you have Tyria Starkin in your story. You're awesome.
Well, that's true. You are awesome if you use Tyria Starkin in your story.
She's a Jedi, of course. Why wouldn't I? I had Corin, too, being a douche.
Oh, Corin Horn.
Can I mention another moment just randomly because I just thought of it? Oh, God, that opening scene to Outcast. The horns.
My heart.
Ugh. I'm like, Aaron, why would you do this? It's terrible. That would be.
That's why you did it.
Trying to kill his mommy. Ugh. Sadness.
And then got worse in the next book, but that one's not Aaron's fault.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Testament to his writing. One moment we're laughing, the next moment we're curled up in a bundle of feels.
Mm-hmm.
Try and think of.
It's really going to be weird at Dragon Con this year without Aaron there.
It really is. I can't even imagine seeing the panel, like the usual EU panel, because now it'll just be Zahn and Stackpole and KJAA.
They need to have an empty chair there. They really need
to have
an empty chair.
I think that's a possibility.
Because, and like they had a panel with just the three of them last year. And I know they did panels together all the time at Origins, and they were just like last year, if you didn't get to go to that panel last year, or if you didn't, we have that audio, I think.
Yeah, we do have the audio.
That was just hilarious because the three of them are just talking about stuff, and Mike or Aaron made some horrible bird pun about Wedge and Queen.
It was Aaron.
It was, oh my God. I was laughing so hard. And I want to listen to that. I'm going to download that right now so I can listen to it tomorrow. Because it was so funny.
If you're listening to this episode and you want to listen to some of those great panel moments from Dragon Con, subscribe to our iTunes feed. They're in there.
And we're not saying this to plug ourselves. We're saying because...
You should listen to them because they were wonderful.
These guys are a lot funnier than we are. Trust us.
We had no part of those panels. We just recorded them.
Yeah. And also, I want to note that despite our conflicting feelings of Kevin J. Anderson's work, he's...
Your feelings.
Yeah. That's why I said some of our feelings.
Could really...
They were actually friendly with all each other and hilarious.
Mm-hmm. There were some moments where Aaron and KJA started bouncing off each other.
And it was hilarious.
I think my favorite story from one of those panels was when someone asked, well, what the heck happened to Jason Solo? Yeah. And KJ goes, he was fine when I left him when he was 15. And they just went down the line. And Zahn was like, he Not was fine the when I wrote him when he was 5. And Mike's like, he was fine when he was 16. And Aaron just, everyone just looks at Aaron. He just shrugs.
Yeah. It's like, he was fine when I wrote him in Exile. Oh, wait.
They're all good. Actually, if we're talking about Dragon Con, this would be a good time to note that I believe Saturday is being dubbed Wear Really, Really Loud Aloha Shirt Day.
Yes.
In honor of Mr. Alston.
Brandy, who runs the Star Wars track, is spearheading Hawaiian Shirt Saturday at Dragon Con this year. And even if you're not going to Dragon Con, wear a bright... loud Aloha shirt.
I need to get one. You should have gotten the one they had at Celebration.
I really should have. I really regret not getting that one now.
Yeah.
I know Sarah's working on that Aloha print. She can get it to work with X-Wings and Ewoks and bright orange.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
Any parting thoughts?
I just want to mention some non-panel things from conventions. He was our second interview on the podcast. We interviewed Mike Stackpole. And then fittingly, right after that, we interviewed Aaron Olsen. And Mercy Kill is coming out. Unfortunately, we didn't have copies of it, but, you know, I think he said that that was his first podcast interview.
We were his first podcast interview.
And then, which I was very surprised about. But he was so awesome and we were so nervous. But he was great. And, after that at Dragon Con, he did these writing workshops with Mike Stackpole that we went to. And, I went up to him and we had these wristbands that we had made for Tashi Station. And I said, "Hi, Mr. Olsen, I'm Nancy from Tashi Station. We, interviewed you on the podcast." And he was like, "Oh yeah. Hey, how are you?" And I'm like, "Good. We want to give you one of these bracelets, you know, and thanks for coming on." He's like, "Oh, great." And he slipped one on his wrist. And this was the first day of the con. Next day, he comes into the Expanded Universe panel, and he's still wearing the bracelet. And I remember going, I was like, Brian, he's still wearing the bracelet. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. And then the thing with the fanfic stories was hilarious. With the, I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Alston wrote fanfic secretly.
We'll find it one day.
Yeah.
But I think, God, I just have so many good memories of running into him, because I think every single year I went to Dragon Con, except for maybe the first year, I ended up running into him, whether it was at a panel or usually outside of the panel. Because remember one year we ended up chasing, we saw him, me and some friends were going to get our badges, and we see him going down, and I just pushed my friends back and I was like, "Olsen, run!" And he just ran up to him going, Mr. Olsen.
And he was probably, at which point, like, he'd been telling us that for years.
Yep. Well, no, he used to say that to Sarah. He's like, "Sarah, come on. You can just, I've told you to call me Aaron in the past," but none of us ever listened. We just always called him Mr. Olsen. And I remember actually that was when, contrary to what different Twitters have reported, that one particular moment was when we found out for sure that Marion Tillies was going to be in Mercy Kill. Because I asked him and he's like, "Should I tell you?" I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Yep, she'll be in there."
Do you know we were actually listed on the Wikipedia page as a source for that?
We were?
Yes.
That's hilarious. Seriously? Oh,
thanks, Aaron. We wouldn't have ever been listed as a source on Wikipedia without you.
But I think my one really, really good memory with him is one I share with my friend Brandon. I think it was 2010 Dragon Con. Aaron was on the adult themes in Star Wars panel Sunday night. And he got there early. I remember me and my friends were just talking to him. And there is a slight chance we may have been slightly intoxicated.
What?
It's Dragon Con. Everybody
night at Dragon
was.
Con.
There's a slight chance I might have been intoxicated, and there's a slight chance, I'm not going to say what exactly to avoid incriminating myself, but comments were made. It wasn't about people's ages, and it was not Aaron's age. But point is like, I felt really stupid, but he just seemed amused by it. And the point was, he said, I remember one friend was like, "Oh, can you just forget someone said that?" And he's like, "Oh, said what? I didn't hear anything." And so I remember I woke up the next morning and, you know, me being me, I felt a little embarrassed. And I was like, oh well, you know, he'll probably forget it before next year and I see him. He'll forget it. Maybe he couldn't tell it was me, because, I mean, that's when he was still pretty blind. So this is my mental process, okay? And so Brandon and I are in line at Starbucks, and we get our coffee, our food, whatever. And all of a sudden I look over, and if you guys have been in the Marriott in Atlanta before, you know, there's that little like bar table thing outside. Yeah, that
bar they use for breakfast in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And who do we see sitting there but Aaron Alston? So with Brandon, I was like, should we go talk to him? And Brandon's like, maybe. And I was like, well, if nothing else, we need to say hi. So we go up to him and go, you know, hi, hey, Mr. Alston, how are you? And I just remember saying some comment, be like, oh, you know, sorry if we were embarrassing last night. He's like, oh, no, not at all. And we were just talking for a couple minutes. And all of a sudden, next thing I know, he goes, why don't you two sit down and join me? So I ended up having breakfast with Aaron Alston at Dragon Con 1 year. And I can't even tell you anything that was said anymore past it, except just talking about the Wraith books and Star Wars and the conventions in general. But it's absolutely one of the most treasured memories I have.
There are so many stories like that where Aaron just drops what he's doing and chats with fans.
Yeah. I think that's one of the great things about the Expanded Universe and why I get really mad when people diss the Expanded Universe is that all of the authors, no matter whether you like them or not, are super awesome with fans. And like I've heard so many stories about at Celebration during the fan parties of Troy Denning having half an hour long conversations with people. And like, I've been at Dragon Con and like randomly chatted with Tim Zahn for 10 minutes, you know, and they all do that. And, you know, I remember just talking with him a few times and I didn't really have like a lot of interactions with him, but just a few times, like I would, you know, asked him to sign my book or, you know, just in general chatting with him. He was always like treated you like you were a friend and not necessarily a fan. You know, and I remember when Brian and I were talking to Tim Zahn before one of the Star Wars panels and we had asked him if he would, you know, consider doing a podcast interview, and he said, you know, yeah, I've got a lot of stuff, you know, coming up, so you know, email me so and so and we'll try to set something up, which we still have to do. But Mike Zachwell was sitting near him or like right next to him, and he looked over at us, recognized us because we'd done the writing workshops and knew who we were, and he said, oh yeah, you should totally do their podcast, they're really good. And then Aaron was there too, and he's like, yeah, I did it too. And I was just like, I'm sorry, I have to sit down.
Oh, I just saw a great tweet. Y'all should go listen to Full of Sith as well, because Brian Young had Mike Stackpole and Janine Spendlove on to talk about Aaron Alston. I'll be looking for that one when it goes live.
I might need to listen to that with some alcohol.
Yeah.
Mike and Aaron were great friends.
I don't know. Like, I can't imagine the writing workshops now. I mean, I hope they continue because they were, you know, they were so informative and you could tell that both of them liked doing them, but it's just like that was their thing together. And ugh. I mean, we're having such a hard time talking about it on this podcast, and we weren't even, like, friends with him. I can't imagine how. And that's the thing, is, like, Aaron Alston was, you know, it's not like, oh, the Star Wars Expanded Universe lost a great author, which they did. It's like this really awesome person passed away, and that sucks.
Yeah, I think as a fandom, we were mourning a whole lot more than just a very talented and very gifted author.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
We were mourning a great human being and someone who added a lot to our own individual lives.
Definitely.
Yub yub. I think we're gonna wrap it up there. We're gonna dispense with the outro this week. Aaron Alston was a great author, a great human being, and while he may be gone now, he left a huge mark on the artistic world, and go check out the interview we did with Aaron a while back, early in our run. Go check out the other interviews that are out there on the web, because he had a lot of great things to say about the art of writing and about life itself.
And if you haven't read an Aaron Alston book, go buy Wraith Squadron.
Please go pick up Wraith Squadron.
You will not regret it.
That'll do it for us this week. Thanks for coming on, Bria.
Of course. I wish I'd been under better circumstances, but...
We'll be back next week with our usual format. We've got a couple new things we're going to be announcing on the blog and the podcast.
I think next week we'll be chatting about the new episodes of The Clone Wars.
Yeah.
So, Bria, we might have you on again next week if you want.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we'll be back to normal next week, but, what was that great quote that was, going around on Tumblr? I feel like,
the wedge.
Yeah, I feel like we should
wedge.
Close out the show with that. Oh, where is it? We're all frantically pulling up Tumblr now.
I don't have my Tumblr on this computer, unfortunately.
He was such a quotable individual, Aaron Alston.
He really, really was. Can I have my say my favorite quote?
Absolutely. Why don't we all close with a favorite quote?
Mine Ooh. Was, so we're picking new names? No. Aw, that's sad. I was looking forward to being Sparky. Sounds like the name for a monkey lizard. And you could be Grandmaster Wango Mitpool. Not in this lifetime. And I asked him, how did he come up with the name Wango Mitpool? And he didn't really have a good enough answer other than that was the most ridiculous thing he could think of. And thanks to him, I have a password for several internet accounts. And don't guess what it is, because...
Oh man.
That quote's got to be around here somewhere. Hap, here it is. Do you have one you want to share, Bria?
I mean, I don't have an absolute favorite, but the one that always comes to mind is how that one town was called New Old Town. And then Zynga goes, don't ever say that again. That name offends me.
Oh, yeah. Everyone head bob in unison. Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll wrap up on this note. This was a quote from... Wraith Squadron, said by Wedge Antilles as he was writing a next of kin letter. I have come to the conclusion that it is important to me. I no longer believe that the momentum of a life headed in a worthwhile direction ends when that life does. And I think we can all agree that Aaron Alston definitely led a life that was head first in a worthwhile direction, and I think we're all better for it. So thank you, Aaron, for everything you've done, everything you've written, and everything you gave to the fan community. We'll miss you, but your works live on and your teachings live on. And
the Force will be with you.
So long. We'll see you all next week.